Well, the word's good. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to the book of Acts chapter 1. And we'll start, let's see here, in verse 9. So good to see everybody today. Praise God. All right. Someone's happy to see me too. Praise God. Glory to God. Acts chapter 1. Father, we love you so much. We're so grateful and so thankful for your mercy, for your love and kindness. Father, what this day represents, it's a day that we see how loving you are. It's a day that we remember how good you are, that we were on your mind, Father, that you made a way for us to get to you. We're just so thankful and so grateful for your mercy and for your goodness. Father, we love you. And Lord, there's so many different people here with different needs and going through different circumstances. But Father, I thank you that when I open my mouth, you're going to fill it with words from heaven. And I'm going to say something this morning that's going to strike a chord in everybody's heart. And it'll be their help. And it'll be a sign unto them that you love them. And it'll be a sign unto them that you have a better tomorrow for them. But it'll also be a sign that this is a safe place where they can come and actually hear from heaven. So, Father, we invite you to move this morning. Do what you want to do and say what you want to say. And we'll give you the praise and we'll give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Easter's a... I was watching, the other night I was upstairs in my office and I was watching, I don't know if it was ESPN or something, I was just flipping around. I saw The Passion of the Christ was on, and I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, it came out years ago, but it's a pretty vivid picture of the suffering that Jesus went through, you know. And so I watched that a little bit, just it was right in the part where they took him captive, you know. And so I went back and got my Bible and was just looking at the Bible, I was just reading over some things concerning what Jesus did, you know. And today's a day to celebrate him. Today's a day, you know, every day should be, but, you know, today was where we really remember. And, you know, he was, you know, a day to put the spotlight on Jesus. And, you know, the Bible says that our Savior, the one that we love so much, the one that gave his life for us, the one that we worship, you know, when they took him captive, you know, they punched him, they slapped him, they spit on him, they mocked him. They beat him to a bloody pulp, you know. And he did that for us. The Bible said, you know, they threw a robe on him and stood around him as he was beaten and bloodied and mocked him. And I just think, my God, you know, and he sat there and took it and just did it for us. Praise God. Went to that cross for us, endured such a horrible death, received the sins of the world, the sickness of the world. The Bible says that Jesus became an object of horror. That's what the Bible says. Jesus became a horror film on the cross, that he didn't even look like a human being, it said. That he was marred more than any man, that his appearance didn't even look human. He was his face was ruined beyond recognition. And he did that for us, praise God. And he, of course, went to the grave and went to hell for us and defeated the devil, praise God. Rose again in victory, so now that devil has no authority over us if we do it Jesus' way. And but, you know, that's part of the act of Jesus and what Jesus did. You know, when he rose again, he appeared to over 500 people and said some things. But I want to pick up in verse 11 where we're going today. Because he died and rose again, yes, but that's not the end of the story. It says in Acts chapter 1, and did I say verse 11? Let's go to verse 9, I'm sorry. Go to verse 9. It says, and when he had spoken these things, this is Jesus after he had died and rose again, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, no doubt angels. And which also said, you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? Of course, they saw Jesus go up, and they're looking up there in amazement. The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So the Bible tells us that the end of the story has not happened yet. Amen? That Jesus died and rose again, yes, but Jesus is coming again. Amen? Jesus is coming back, praise God. And that's exciting, coming back, and we'll look at a little bit about that today. But Jesus is coming, and, you know, first of all, this is just on my heart the act of him going to the cross shows you, because when he went to the cross, the Bible says you were enemies, ungodly, and sinners. He went in your worst time and did it for you anyways. If you're here and you're facing anything, you know, you're mixed up in addictions, you're mixed up in wrong living, you're mixed up in doing things the wrong way, God's merciful. And God's not only merciful, but he'll love you back, but then he'll help you break those things. Why? I'm living proof of it. Praise God. He's merciful. Don't ever let the devil tell you that you're too far gone, or don't ever let the devil tell you that you've done too many things wrong, or that you can't be forgiven or get back. That's just a lie from the pit of hell. The blood of Jesus covers all sins. Praise God. Thank God for it. And so he came back, but he said he's coming back, but why is he coming back? Well, I want to show you. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, in verse, let's go to verse 24. Ephesians 5 and verse 24. It says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. So guys, don't get too excited about that submission thing, because 25 says, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. Now go back to verse 24. It says, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be unto their husbands. Now what I want is, and then verse 25 says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. What he's saying here, we're not talking about marriage today, but what he's saying is he likens a marriage between a husband and wife to the church and himself, where he's the groom and the church is the bride. And real quick, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Just trying to lay some groundwork here. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 2 says, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you, he's talking to the church, to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. What he's saying, which backs up, we can look at a bunch of places where Jesus talked about the bridegroom and where the Revelation and different scriptures, but we don't have time to look at that. Basically, what Jesus is saying and what Paul's saying is that the church is the bride and Jesus is the groom. Well, why is he coming back to the earth? He's coming back to get his bride. Amen. Amen. He's coming back to get his bride. Hallelujah. And so that's why he's coming back to get us. Praise God. But I want to show you some things. So the Bible says he's coming. The Bible says he's coming back to get us, praise God. Go to 1 John 2 and verse 28. And we'll kick this thing into high gear here in a second when we read this. So Jesus is coming back. That's our hope, isn't it? When I say hope, I'm not hoping like we don't know. I mean, that's what we're looking forward to. We're excited about that. It says, and now, verse 28, little children, abide in him. You see that there. Now, it's important for you to know that he said, and now little children. He's writing this to Christians. He's writing this to people that have already received Jesus, who are heaven bound. But he says, now little children, abide in him. He tells you, abide in him. What? Do it his way. Go God's way. Why? That when he shall appear, not if he shall appear, when he shall appear. Amen? And I'll tell you what, the body of Christ needs to get a wake-up call. Because Jesus, see, we go about our lives down here, and we think, we live so selfishly and so without a purpose, and we think this is all that there is, and so we strive to make this the best, we strive to make this life the best, and get everything we can in our own little bubble, in our own little corner of the world, and we want to keep everything to ourselves, we want to be selfish, but the problem is, all this is passing away. He said, love not the world nor the things in the world, for the love of the Father, who that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, and everything in the world is passing away. So here we are, we go about our daily lives not thinking about him, not thinking about the things of God. We go about our daily lives, how can we better ourselves? What can we do for ourselves? And the problem with that is this is all passing away, and he's coming back. Amen. When he shall appear. Now see, if you live in the light that Jesus is really coming back, if you truly believe the Bible, now if you believe he died and rose again, you have to believe he's coming back because it's the same word. But if he's really coming back for you, it can't not change your life. And I'm going to show you here because the Bible says to Christians, abide in him that when he shall appear. Now, if we abide in him, which to abide in him means to do it his way, go his way, go after what he's saying, walk by his principles. He said that when he shall appear, we'll have confidence. Right. Amen. Amen. And not be ashamed at his coming. Now, here's the thing you have to understand. The coming of Jesus, that is the biggest breakout party for the Christian. That is our day that we look forward to. That's the day we look unto the coming of the Lord. We're excited about that. The last thing you want to experience when Jesus comes back for you is to be ashamed. But the Bible says it will happen. There will be Christians that will stand before him. They're heaven bound, but they stand before him and they'll be so ashamed. Why? They didn't abide in him. But the Bible says if you abide in him, you won't be ashamed. Now, this is what I want to help you with as your pastor. Because Jesus is likened to the groom, and the church is likened to a bride. He's coming back for his bride. Now, I've been in full-time ministry almost 11 years. This will be my 7th year this year of full-time pastoring in September. But I've been in full-time ministry almost 11 years. I've done a lot of weddings. And this is what I've found to be the general rule at a wedding. Is that the bride doesn't just roll out of bed and show up at the double doors, no makeup on, hair not done, in her PJs to come down the aisle for her man. I'm not seeing that yet. Let me tell you what I have seen. The term bridezilla, it's true. Not for all you brides, but it's true. I've seen the shows. I've been a part of weddings. I've seen what. Now, what am I talking about? Generally speaking, when a woman is going to get married, it's extensive preparation. Some people prepare for years in advance for this. You know, they want to get everything right. On that special day when she's going to meet her groom, what? She does her hair special. She does her makeup special. She might get her nails done. She might have started a workout program a long time ago so she can look a certain way as she wants to for him, right? She gets a nice, pretty dress that, you know, it's perfectly pressed. It's the perfect size. It's just absolute, just perfect how she wants it. Why? Because when those doors open, she wants to look good for her man. She wants to, that's her day that she's being presented unto her groom. Well, it's the same thing for the church. That Jesus comes back, and the Bible said in Ephesians 5, he's looking for a church without spot or blemish and without wrinkle. Amen. Amen? You don't see a bride show up with a wrinkly dress. You don't see a bride show up with a dress with ketchup all over it. Or, you know, looks like she had pancakes this morning. Look at all this. In fact, most brides won't even touch food on the day of their wedding. Don't mess with them. Don't mess with their makeup. Don't make them cry. Don't do nothing. That's the truth. They want to look good. They want to look right. They want to look pretty. They want to be ready. Well, we're the bride of Christ. And the Bible says he's coming. And the thing is that a bride has an advantage over the church is the bride knows the exact date. The church doesn't know the date. The Bible says no man knows the date. What's that mean? We might not even finish this sermon. And our Savior will be here. Are you ready to meet him? Amen. I'm telling you, are you ready? Would you be ashamed to meet him right now? The way you live in your life? The way things are in your life? Now again, this isn't a condemnation message because the answer to condemnation is always forgiveness. Anytime you're outside the will of God, if you're not abiding in him, don't beat yourself up. Repent and get back in. He's not kicking you down. I'm not kicking you down. The devil might be kicking you down, but why are we listening to what he's saying? This message is out of love for the church. When the Lord told me to talk about his return on Easter, it puts Jesus in the spotlight. Jesus needs to be in the spotlight and in the forefront of your lives every single day. Amen. The church ought not to be the most packed on Christmas and Easter. The church ought to be the most packed every single week. But the problem is Jesus isn't in the forefront, and that's an issue because if Jesus isn't in the forefront of your life, you're going to live a certain way. But the problem with that is you're going to stand before him someday and be ashamed, and that's going to be horrible. Can you imagine that? You know, I used to have this reoccurring dream. And I'm sorry, I don't even know if I should say it, but I probably should because I'm not very eloquent, very educated. But to give the example out, I used to, I don't have it anymore, have this reoccurring dream that I ended up in school in my underpants. And I'd be sitting at my desk in my underwear, looking around, nobody else had underwear, and I felt such a deep sense of shame and embarrassment and panic. Why? I wasn't prepared. I wasn't prepared. Now the reoccurring dream is that I wake up and it's like 9:45, and I'm still back in Lakewood, and I don't have anything ready, and the church is going to be here at 10 o'clock, and I have that dream all of the time, and I get the same feeling, panic, embarrassment, shame, guilt. Why? I'm not prepared. I'm not ready. How much more, how many fold more, when Jesus, the Son of God, comes to get his bride, and we're either going to stand before him confidently, without spot and blemish, serving him. Now, it doesn't mean being perfect. Nobody's going to be perfect on this earth. But it does mean making adjustments when you know you're wrong. Amen. Amen? Abiding in him doesn't mean perfection. Abiding in him means you're going his way. And when you trip up or when you find something in the word that you're not doing, you adjust that. Why? To stay in him. What am I trying to do? Get you ready to meet your groom. Get you ready to meet your Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. And thank God for it. Because who else is going to tell you? Amen? I don't want you to be ashamed at his coming. I want you to be ready. Just like that bride, you know, before she walks down the aisle, she's got everything ready. She's prepared. She's got the music all set. She knows what the minister's going to say. She's got the flowers the way she wants. She's got her dress. She's got her makeup, her hair. She took great lengths and extensive preparation to make sure that one moment was perfect. Amen. Hallelujah. That's our moment, ladies and gentlemen. So are you ready to find out how to stand before him and not be ashamed? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, here we go. Number one, we're going to get three quick points here. The level of how confident you are and how ashamed you are, one of the things that's going to stand out. Now, these aren't the only three things, but these are the three things the Spirit of God emphasized for me, is this. How well will you know him when he appears? How well will you know him? Because I'm going to tell you the truth. Most of the people in the body of Christ, you know what they know Jesus as? Hey, he's the guy that saved me so I don't have to go to hell, and that's it. He's the Savior. He's never been Lord of their life. They don't have an intimate relationship with him. But he's the guy that was their fire insurance that kept them from perishing and going to hell. Let's face it, most people, I'm not just saying in this church, I'm saying in general, most people have no idea about him. He's just the guy that saved me, that pastor talks about so I can go to hell, the merciful guy. How well will you know him? You know, I was thinking about this point. You know, it's different. There's a different experience for a bride in an arranged marriage when she's never met her husband before and she's forced to meet him. And she goes down the aisle and is marrying this guy. She has no idea who it is. That's a different experience than the one bride who says, you know what, I choose him. I know everything about him. I like what he has to bring to the table. I want to be with him. There's a different experience. It's way better for that bride than the bride that knows nothing about her husband and what she's getting into and who she's joining herself to. Well, a lot of people are going to stand before Jesus and not have a clue who he is. Well, he's my Savior and got me out of hell. No. God desires that we have an intimate relationship with him. Be acquainted with him, praise God. In fact, the book of Job says this in Job 22:21. It says, acquaint now yourself with him and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto you. What's he saying? The more acquainted you are with him, not only will it be better when you see him, it'll be better for you right now. Amen. Praise God. Most people have no idea he's the healer. So sickness comes in their life and they just take it. Most people have no idea he's the Prince of Peace. So when depression and anxiety and fear and stress come, it's just that's normal in life. That's just what happens. Well, he's the Prince of Peace. If you don't know it, you won't receive it. And ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know it, you won't receive it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it's kind of like if you misplace money or you lose money or something and you have that money that you can be used for something. It's kind of like the time I took somebody out to eat, you know, and thought I had money and said I want to buy for them, found out the restaurant only took cash. I didn't have my cash on me. Had a credit card, so they had to pay. You know, and I walked back out to my truck and opened the center console to put my phone in it or something. And there was money to pay for lunch. Well, it doesn't matter that I have the money. If I don't know I have the money, I can't use it. It doesn't matter that God's a healer and God's a provider and God's a peace giver. If you don't know that, you won't receive from that. Because you need faith, and you can't have faith with things you don't know. Amen. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Once you know the will of God, there's faith. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So how well do you know Jesus? Go to Philippians 3 and verse 7. Philippians 3 and verse 7. This is Paul talking. I just want you not to be ashamed when you stand before him. We ought to live every day with the idea that Jesus is coming at any moment. Out of a reverent fear, not a scared fear and a worried fear, but out of reverence, praise God. Philippians 3 and verse 7 says this. But those things which were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. Yes, doubtless. I count all things but loss for the excellency, notice this, of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Here it is, verse 10. That I may know him. Know him. I want to know him. How shallow if the only way you know him is your fire insurance. Come on. It's true. How shallow. That I may know him, Paul said, and the power of his resurrection. See, a lot of Christians have no idea. There's power available to the child of God. Amen. You got Christ on the inside of you. You got the anointed one. Jesus Christ, the anointed one on the inside of you, the greater one. And you got to know that to walk out that power. I've been without the power and I've been with the power, and the power's better. The things which had a hold on me in my life, the things which had a grip on my mind and my body, those things are gone and decimated. Why? I know his power. I don't have to do it in my power. I do it in his power. But ladies and gentlemen, if you think that God, just because he's merciful, is going to shine down his happy face and invade your situation and turn things around without you doing something first, you're fooling yourself. You got to know his power. You got to use faith for his power. My goodness. But he's powerful. And the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So Paul said, I want to know, I want to know, I want to know. Well, real quick, in point one, I'm not going to spend much time on this because we don't have a lot of time. How do we get to know the Father? How do we get to know Jesus? First and foremost is through his word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. We get to know God through his word. Through spending much time in his word, we learn about him. We learn about what to do in life. We learn about what he has for us. We learn about his characteristics. We learn about his attributes. You know, it's amazing. You hear on the news and you hear people talking, and they'll say things that are so ignorant and out of knowledge that they don't know God very well. They don't. For them to say that about God, that's not the God I read about in the Bible. Amen? Well, you find out from his word. You spend time with in his word with him. The second way to know him more is through prayer. Now I'm going to hit a hot button here because I know what the body of Christ is like. All prayer is conversation with the Father. That's it. That's all prayer is conversation with the Father. And you know that people go weeks, days, months without talking to the Father. They play the game of going to church, and they play the game of listening to Christian music. They don't have a relationship with him. They don't talk to him. They're not intimately acquainted with him. Listen, I'm talking to God all the time. Just having conversations with him. That's all prayer is. See, we've come from religious backgrounds that make you think that you got to light the candles and you got to get in a certain position and you got to change your voice. Oh, God, no, he wants me. That's not how I talk. I say, Lord, how's it going today? I was on a walk this morning with my dog, a little after 6 o'clock. And I came over the hill, and there was saw the sun there, and I said, Lord, that's pretty cool. That's awesome, Jesus. Thank you. That's a blessing. I just talked to him like that. Why? He's always with me. I have a revelation that God is always with me. It's more weird that you don't talk to him. What do I mean? Well, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, if you hung out with me all day, it'd be weird if you didn't talk to me. Amen. Jesus is hanging out with you every day, and people go day in and day out, day in, day out, have no fellowship or intimate time with him. It's one thing we have to be careful of in the prosperity and the abundant life gospel, the health and wealth gospel, which is biblical, but we need to be careful that that's not the only thing we're after. If we're after the stuff more than we're after him, that's a problem. See, if you'll go after him, the stuff will follow. But see, he wants you to come after him, praise God, not just the stuff. My goodness. I remember one gentleman, this was at the Jamestown Church. He came in with a mess. You know, I know what a mess looks like. I've made him before, and I had him in my life. You know, he came in with addictions. He came in with relationship problems, problems with his kids, problems in his job. I mean, a whole mess of things. And we sat down with him. Pastor Tim sat down with him. I sat down with him, gave him the word. Praise God, gave him the word. You know, the word will turn things. Amen. The application of the word will turn things around for you. Now, you got to give it time. You got to trust the process. Amen. Just like somebody, you know, starts a workout program and they work out real hard for a week and they eat good for a week. You know, your pants might be a little bit looser and you might feel better, but you're not going to notice a difference in the mirror. But if you trust the process over time, you'll lose weight and get in shape. Amen? Same thing with the Bible. If you keep applying the word over time and trust the process, it'll work. Well, that's what he did. He started doing the word and everything turned around. I mean, a miracle in this guy's life. Well, then all of a sudden, he must have signed up for the witness protection program. What do I mean? I didn't see him anymore. He was MIA, man. He was gone. Went AWOL from church. I thought, what in the world's going on? Something must have happened. I called him up, checking on him, say, brother, where'd you go? Missed you. Haven't seen you in a while. Is everything okay? Kid you not. This was his words. A guy that Jesus turned everything around in his life when he did the word. He said, everything's good in my life now. I don't need him anymore. That's what he said. I'm not kidding you. I promise you. That's what he said. I thought, my Lord, you don't have a revelation of him. People want, you know, come on, people want the stuff, but don't want him. Well, then when you show up in front of Jesus, I mean, praise God. Don't make Jesus your sugar daddy. You just wanted the stuff from him. You never wanted him. Amen. I was contemplating whether to say it. I said, what the heck, why not? Just say it, praise God. Just say it the way it is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He longs to spend time with you. The third way that you get to know more is through church. Why? Because God gave you a pastor. There's certain revelations and certain relationships with him that you can't get on your own. You need someone that's more anointed than you, that's been put in that position to help you. Just like I could not know God the way I know God without my pastor. My pastor brought me up a level by sharing and preaching and teaching the word, showing me things in the Bible that I didn't know. But so many people are so unfaithful to come to church, just disobeying God. They're not abiding in him. Here, God gave us gifts. We saw that last week. God gave us gifts, and they're ministers. But so many people, God will give me your answer, and then I'll preach to empty seats. Well, the seats don't need it. Amen. The rear ends in the seats needed it, but the rear ends weren't there. And so, it's important. You say, well, God will get to me a different way. No, God doesn't violate his word for your special little case. Well, God will just tell me another way. No, God did try to tell you. He told you he gave you a pastor in a church, and he gave you the word. Come hear it, you'll have your answer. Amen. 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 Don't think you're so special that God's going to do it outside of his word. He does his word. Amen. Praise God. Well, so prayer, word, prayer, and church. He longs to spend time with you, ladies and gentlemen. You know, in the garden, the Bible said God walked with Adam and Eve. He had fellowship, communion with Adam and Eve, and then sin came and there was a division. Why? Sin can't stand in the presence of God. So you know what God did through all the years after that? He made a way to get back to him. God loved people so much and wanted fellowship with people so much, he sent his son. Now here's what I mean by that. Go to Hebrews 10 and verse 19. Hebrews 10 and verse 19. What am I trying to do? Get you to not be ashamed when he comes back. Get you to know him more on a deeper level. Amen. The more you know him, the more blessed you'll be on this earth anyways. Praise God. Amen. Hebrews 10 and verse 19. I mean, if you thought today we were going to come in and preach about the Easter Bunny and chocolate candy, I'm sorry I ruined your day. I'm just following my spirit. Praise God. Amen. Hebrews 10 and verse 19 says this, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. The holiest is talking about the holiest of holies, a reference to the Old Testament, where one time a year the high priest could go into the temple, into the center part where the presence of God was. But when Jesus came, the veil was torn in the temple, and God's presence was now in a box. Now God's presence is in people. But why did he do it? It says, brethren, enter into the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus. What's he saying? I made a way for you to get back to me by sending my son. What's he saying? I wanted fellowship and relationship with you so bad that I gave my son to make it happen. Here you were on one cliff. Here God was on the other cliff. And in between was a great divide. And God said, for them to get from there to there, I'm going to have to lay down a bridge. And so he laid his son down. And now John 14:6 says, so whoever believes in him will not perish, everlasting life. I am the way, the truth, and life. That's the bridge. That's the bridge of God. No man comes to the Father except through him. My point is, that's how bad he desires to fellowship with you. He's happy blessing you. He's happy giving you the stuff you need. But he desires a relationship. How real is he in your life if you don't talk to him? I'd have to say he's not very real. If you just go about, well, I'm just going about checking off a religious box, coming to church, and there's going to be a different level of how confident you are in front of him. So take this time on the earth to get to know him more. Because the more you know him, the more you'll be blessed anyways. Praise God. So number two, well, let's just keep it, turn up the heat in here. Praise the Lord. Remember what the Bible said, not Pastor Mike. The Bible said that Christians will be ashamed, those that do not abide in him. Well, what is him? He is the Word. Number two, to help your level of confidence when you stand before Jesus, is do you obey and follow his Word? And I'm going to show you some things that Jesus said, our sweet little Jesus. Because we think, oh, Pastor Mike's harsh and bold. Not as harsh and bold as Jesus was. Right. Amen? I mean, that dude went into the temple. I say that respectfully in terms, he's not the dude. You understand what I mean, praise God. But that our Savior went in and tore that temple up, man, when they were doing wrong things. He was bold, praise God. He was bold. Do you obey his Word? Do you follow his Word? Go with me to 1 John chapter 3. Now I'm going to show you this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. I'm trying to get you ready. What am I? I'm your wedding planner. I'm planning your wedding this morning. You know, you might want to do that with your dress. You might want to do that. You know, I've seen lots of weddings. I'm just trying to help you. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Now look at this. Beloved, we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, he's coming back. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, verse 3. And every man that has this hope, what hope? That he's coming. Every man that has this hope that he's coming. Coming when? We don't know. But he'd come anytime. Just so you know, ladies and gentlemen, biblically, he can come anytime now. Things have been done and things have taken place in the earth. We are in the last days, according to the Bible. You say, why hasn't he come? Because he said he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. He wants to see more people come in. He's waiting for that great harvest. Praise God. Because he's not willing that any should perish. But look at this verse now. Now remember, we look at Pastor Mike. We say, oh man, Pastor Mike, why are you preaching about this on Easter? I want to know about the Easter bunny. I want to know about good little bunny foo-foo and hopping Peter Rabbit. Tell me about that stuff. How's that fit in with all this? Make it sweeter. Well, look at what the Bible says. Every man that has this hope of what? That Jesus is coming, purifies. Do you see that there? Yeah. Purifies himself even as he is pure. Why? Because the Bible said he's coming back for a church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. The same way a woman, when she comes through the double doors or wherever she's getting married and she first appears to her husband, she's going to make sure that the dress is completely cleaned and pressed. She's going to look in the mirror before she goes, make sure she's got nothing on her face, and make sure everything's in order. Why? She wants to be presented pure to him. Amen? Amen. You know, no bride's going to look at her dress and say, oh, I see a little spot there. Ah, that's okay. You know, her last fitting comes up and, there's a stitch out of place. Oh, there's thread and stuff. It'll be fine. She's going to say, we got to get this fixed. Why? Because she knows her big day's coming. Why don't we have that same sense of urgency? I'll just say it this way. He's coming back, and the Bible says if you believe that, you'll purify yourself. Why? Just for the pure fact that when he shows up, you want to be ready. What do you want your eyes to be looking at when he comes back? Are you really confident that when Christ comes and the trumpet sounds, that you're going to come up from that place out of a bar? Come on. You won't be confident then. You won't. Why? Because the Bible says you'll purify yourself if you believe he's coming. And now you'll be ashamed. Are you happy with the way you're living your life, the way you're talking, the way you're treating people, the way you're going about, the way you just absolutely stomp on what he has? The things of God are nothing to you. I'll tell you what. If you have a hope that Jesus is coming back, the Word of God, not the pastor, the Word of God says you will purify yourself. Say, wait, that sounds legalistic. This legalism doctrine, no, it sounds like the Bible to me. You know that when God said, Peter quoted God, but this is from the Old Testament, but Peter quoted, he said, be ye holy as I am holy. Say, I laugh when people say, that's Pastor Mike. Of course we would never expect to see Pastor Mike with a beer in his hands or Pastor Mike at the bar. Of course we wouldn't expect to see Pastor Mike looking at wrong things on the internet. Of course we wouldn't expect to see Pastor Mike do this. Wait a second. We're not going by the standards of Pastor Mike. Be holy as God is holy. And he said, purify yourself. Oh, we wouldn't expect to see that in Pastor Mike, but we're not going by Pastor Mike's standards. Amen. Hallelujah. Wouldn't expect Pastor Mike to talk that way. I'm less than God. God don't talk that way. God don't do the things that we do. God don't live the... But the Bible says to be holy as he is holy. What am I trying to do? Get you ready. Get all the spots, all the blemishes, all the wrinkles out. Why? To present you to Jesus spotless. Why? So when that day comes, you'll say, thank God for my pastor. Amen. You know these flesh churches that tell people live wherever, however you want, do whatever you want. They're going to get there, and Jesus, they're going to be ashamed. Why didn't my shepherd tell me these things were wrong? Why didn't my shepherd tell me these things? My job is to preach the Bible. Your job is to hear it and do it. Whether you do it or not, it's up to you. But my job is to shout it, and I'm going to keep shouting it. Praise God. Why? I love the church. I want you to be presented to him. Praise God. Let me give you an example about, well, I won't be ashamed. I won't be ashamed. Well, the Bible says you'll purify yourself, and if you don't abide in him, you won't have confidence. The example I think about is the example my pastor always uses, and I'm just going to use it again. And I think that's probably the last time I'll give him credit for it. Start pretending it's mine, you know, and I won't say it's mine, but if you want to believe it's mine, that's great. Go right ahead and give me that credit. But it's kind of like, you know, a kid with the cookies, right? Where, let's just call the kid Johnny, you know. Poor Johnny, right? It's always Johnny. And Johnny's at the dinner table. His mom says, you know, you eat all your vegetables, Johnny, you can have cookies after dinner. And Johnny doesn't eat his vegetables. His mom says, no cookies. Don't you dare get in that cookie jar. And mommy goes upstairs, and mommy's away, and Johnny gets an idea. Man, I want a cookie so bad. Well, let me tell you what Johnny's not going to do, because he knows he's not supposed to. Johnny's not going to be loud when he goes in that kitchen. Johnny's not going to hop up on that cupboard and open that thing real loud. He's not going to get the cookie jar out and set it on the... He's not just going to slam it down. He's going to be so careful. Take that lid off so carefully and get that cookie and start eating. He's going to make sure he's get all the stains off the corner of his mouth and no, don't spill any cookie crumbs. But what's going to happen if mommy walks in and he's chowing down? Is Johnny going to be very confident? Why? He didn't do what mommy said. But the child that mommy said, yeah, go ahead. You get that cookie jar whenever you want. Johnny, you did great tonight. You ate your vegetables. You did awesome. Johnny's not going to care how loud the cupboard door is. Johnny's not going to care how loud the cookie jar hits the table. Johnny's not going to care if he takes the lid off and it rattles around and makes noise. Johnny's not going to care if he takes a big old bite and gets cookie all over his face. And mommy walks in while he's chowing down. Johnny's going to look at him with a big old smile. Hi, Mom. Why? He's in obedience. It's the same thing that's going to happen with the church. That's why we try to pull you up higher. Listen, if you're in sin and if you're living wrong and not doing it his way, the answer to that is repentance and you get right back on. You know you can walk out of here perfect like you never missed it one time. I had a little girl last night in Olean. I walked over to her and her friend before service and I said, is this the cool club? Can I be a part of this? And she said, well, are you perfect? And when she said that to me, I almost said no. But then I said, in my Savior's eyes, I am. Because the Bible says when I ask for forgiveness, he takes away all my spots and blemishes. Amen. If I spill on this shirt ketchup or barbecue sauce, you know, it looks spot and blemish. If I take it to the dry cleaners and that thing gets wiped away and it's completely gone, yeah, there used to be a stain there, but the dry cleaners took it away. I don't have to live according to that stain anymore. So I'm here to tell you there's mercy. There's mercy. Praise God. Hallelujah. One second, I want to check something. This, I want to make sure I know where I'm going here. I hope if I get over to the right place. I'm going to show you what the Word says here. Praise God. You know that the Word talks about how when we dwell in him, you ever seen over in Psalm 91 where it says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty, and it goes on to list 16 verses of blessing? All those 16 verses of blessing are dependent on whether or not you're in him or not. Amen? The Bible says, in him, if you ask, it'll be done for you. If you're in him. Amen. What's in him? Obeying the word. Following the word. What are we trying to do? Get you ready for that day, but I want you to see a blessed life down here. Amen? Let me just say it this way. The wages of sin. What is sin? Sin is just not doing it God's way. We can think of a million sins to list and think, well, that's a sin, that's a sin. No, sin is just disobeying God. The wages of sin is death. I'm trying to get you off the death way into the life way of blessing. Praise God. Amen. Oh, he's so good. Now go to John 14. We're almost done. Go to John 14 and verse 15. Now again, it's quiet in here. I hope I don't ruin your Easter. This is, it was just planning for your wedding. John 14 and verse 15. Now this is out of the mouth of Jesus, remind you. Swallow this and chew on this for a second. If you love me. Now if I were to say to people, do you love Jesus here this morning? Oh, I love him, I love him. If you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. That's what the Savior said. Now go down to verse 22. Actually, go to verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he said, if he loves me, I'll be able to tell. How? Now, this is Jesus saying this, not me. Remember, this is the Jesus we preach around here. A lot of false Jesus is being preached to the world, but this is the true Jesus. This came out of his mouth. If a man love me, he will keep my words. Amen. Come on now. It's a little bit quieter in here than when we're preaching faith and prosperity. You ought to be just as excited about this stuff. If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now I'll go to 1 John chapter 5. Everybody that has this hope will purify themselves. You can't go about living the same way if you really believe Jesus is coming back. Well, you can. If you want to, you can do whatever you want. But you're hurting yourself now, and you're going to be very disappointed when you stand before him. 1 John chapter 5, in verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. That means burdensome or troublesome. You know what, people, the lie the devil has told people? I can't live according to that. That standard's way too high. That's garbage. That's right. You can be a doer of the word. Ladies and gentlemen, what ground you are, isn't it amazing that Jesus, the Son of God, preached his word, and there were people's lives that were dramatically changed and transformed and set free and turned around? Yet he's the same Jesus preached the same word to other human beings, and they got nothing out of it. Now, let me ask you a question. Was the ones that got something out of it more special than the ones that didn't? Nope. You know what it came down to? Choices. The Bible says, this day I've set before you blessing and cursing, life and death. Choose life. It's your choice to show up to church on time and be in the service. It's your choice to walk in love or not. It's your choice to live according to the word or not. It's your choice to do whatever the word says or not. It's your choice. Amen. It comes down to choices. And he said, the ones that love me are the ones that are keeping my commandments. My goodness. It's the truth. Praise God. What am I trying to get you? Not ashamed to stand before him. So now last but not least. So number one, how well do you know him? Number two, do you obey, follow his word? Number three. Kind of as a piggyback off of number two, because if you do number two, you'll do number three. But it needed a point to be separate on its own. Number three, on this earth right now, do you live for him or are you living for you? Because he calls you to live for him. Why? Because everything down here that you're living for, and again, God's given us things to enjoy. God's given us blessings. But not to overtake our desires, not to overtake our time and our energy and everything, to be totally focused on us. Do you live for him or do you live for you? Well, let's take a look at what the Bible says God's plan for you is. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. He rose again. Why? So he could come back to us. Ephesians 4. Say, well, I don't believe he's coming back. Then why in the world are you here? If you believe he died and rose again, you have to believe he's coming back. It's the same Bible. Amen. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. It says, and he gave some apostles, prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now notice this. For the perfecting of the saints, to get you better, number one. But then look what he says. For the work of the ministry. Why did God give you gifts to perfect you? So that you would get to work. Amen. For the ministry. What's that? Not living for yourself. Living for Him. Praise God. Now I'm going to just mention two things before we close here. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about how we're, just go there. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27. Real fast, just pull that up on the screen. You don't have to turn there. You can just follow along. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. So the Bible calls you the body of Christ. In Ephesians 4 and verse 11, it says that you are the ones to do the work of the ministry. Now the Bible says you're the body of Christ. Well, if you're the body of Christ, who's the head? Jesus is the head. Jesus is the head of the body. Well, I know this, that if I'm thirsty right now, my head will tell me, I'm thirsty. But my head needs the body to bring me over there to get myself a drink. Ladies and gentlemen, as the body of Christ, you are the hands and feet of God. You are the ones that are supposed to be carrying out His mission on the earth. Are you? Or is everything about your life, what can I do? What does that look like? That means I'm not doing anything in my church. I just cut. Now again, we're not talking about new people and people that are just coming on to God. We're talking about consistently, year after year. All you do is come in, plop your butt down and get a nice feeding and walk away. You don't even set the table. You don't put the dishes away. You don't do anything around the house. All you do is come and get fed. What's that? That's a mooch. Amen. That's a mooch. You don't serve the Lord. That's your job, to do the work of the ministry. Again, not talking about newer people and things, but you ought to be serving. What about in your personal life? Now let me show you. Go to Mark chapter 16. Praise God. Mark 16 and verse 15. Praise God. He's going to get there and say, imagine standing before Jesus and he says, you know what? You are my body. And I wanted to do so much more on the earth. And how's he going to do it? He's going to do it through us. Amen. Jesus is in heaven. He's not coming back to do anything on the earth until he comes back to get us. He expects us to do the work. And when we stand before him, how ashamed would we be if we just lived every day for ourselves and he says, you know, I wanted to do so much more, because you say, well, that won't happen. Well, it will, because the Bible said that we will, as Christians, be judged for things done in the body. Amen. How we go about our life and what we do and the calls we have a ministry, ladies and gentlemen. You have a mission field. And how you do, what you do with that, praise God. You're the body. I'm going to say something here in a second concerning the body that will help you understand it more. Mark 16 and verse 15, he said, go into all the world. What's all the world? Your Thanksgiving dinners, your Easter dinners, your workplace, the place where you shop, the place where you have recreation. He said, go into all the world and preach. I'll say, well, that excludes me. I'm not a preacher. Don't get tripped up by that word. That just means to proclaim. He said, well, Pastor Mike did that. Pastor Mike's not at your Easter dinners. Pastor Mike's not at your workplace. Pastor Mike might not be in shopping when you run into someone that needs Jesus. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Tell people about the Lord. Now, I'm going to say something. Hopefully, it might be bold. And how many people lately have you led to Jesus? How many people ever in your whole life have you led to Jesus? How many people are you bringing to church? How many people are you inviting to church? Or is it just about, Pastor, don't talk to me about this stuff. Let me live in my little bubble. Let me just work my job and get all my stuff and my family. That's a sorry existence, a way to live a life, because you're going to be so ashamed and sad when it's over. And I'm trying to get you ready for the eternity and not have you live for the here and now. A selfless life. Remember what Jesus said? He said, he that would come after me. Now, if you don't believe me, we won't turn there for time's sake, but Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24 says, if a man come after me, let him deny himself. Oh, that's not what we preach a lot about in the American church in 2017, denying yourself. No, everything's about me, 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 me. But he said, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross. For whosoever will lose his life will find it, and whoever shall try to save his life is going to lose it. What's he saying? The true victory and the true living is when you lose your life and surrender it to the things of God, then life really begins. Why? Because then there's a purpose, an eternal purpose for him. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you live for him or do you live for you? He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. You don't realize you're all missionaries. You have contained on the inside of you what somebody needs. I remember being on the basketball, or a playground. There's a basketball court not too far away with my kids. Well, I think it was just Caleb, actually. Abby might have been there. I can't remember. But anyways, the kids were, you know, carrying on, and the way they were talking was super crude, bad language, things my kids have never heard, you know, and I'm trying to, like, kind of balance out how loud it is over here, and if they can hear that, do we need to leave and stuff, and it was good. They didn't hear anything. They didn't catch anything, and I started to think, man, you started to get, like, mad and judgmental, you know, thinking, what's wrong with them? And I thought, holy cow, that used to be me. That was me talking like that. That was me living like that. But you know why I'm doing what I'm doing now? Because somebody actually was the hands and feet of God and told me about him and ministered to me. Or I'd still be doing those things, still living that way. No victory, no family, no churches. I used to be that guy. But somebody actually did the Bible. And when you stand before him, he said, who are you bringing with you? Who'd you tell about me? Were you ashamed of me? You never said a word about me. You never told anyone about me. You're the body of Christ. We're the hands and the feet. We're the ones that do the work. My dad had a stroke in 2004. Had a stroke in 2004. It affected the left side of his body. Affected the left side of his, whole left side, arm and leg. Now, my dad used to be, he's one of these guys, never smoked, never drank. Worked out. He had a business. We used to cater huge weddings, help him cater. He had his own restaurant, do all these things. And he had a stroke. It totally messed his life up. So his hands, his legs used to be such commodities to him, such blessings to him. But you know what now? Because his arm and because his legs do not work properly, they're actually a hindrance to him. Because now when he walks, he trips because he drags his left leg. His left arm always gets in his way because he can't control it. It's actually not even a blessing having them anymore. They actually get in his way more. Well, what was a blessing is now not a blessing. Why? Because something in his body doesn't work right. When the body of Christ, whether you like it or not, you're the body. If you're a Christian, you're the body of Christ. Are you the drag-along part? The one that's tripping everybody up? Or are you the one actually, I'm doing something for the Lord. I'm doing something for the church. I'm not living for myself. You're going to be disappointed when you realize that everything you did down here and you strove for everything down here is just going away. Can't take it with you. Yeah. So good. Trying to help you. Trying to help you. Praise God. Yeah. So I encourage you, get ready for Jesus to come back. Amen. Get ready for Jesus. Start doing things His way. Start talking to Him. Start having a relationship with Him. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Start doing it His way. Glory to God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. We're so grateful. So excited for your return. We know it's coming. Yeah. Yeah, that helps me, Father. Lord just reminded me that most of the people that he preached to didn't receive what he had either. So, Lord, I won't get discouraged. I know my heart. I know that I just want to see people live in the blessing. I've done it your way, I've done it not your way, and your way sure is better. Your way sure is better. So, Father, we're just trying to bring people higher, so to get them ready to see you, have a more blessed life here. So, Father, I thank you for that. Praise you, Lord. Let's worship him and thank him. We love you, Lord. We bless you. Thank you for your mercy and your goodness. Now, Lord, the cross represents the place where our sins were placed upon you so that we could be forgiven, so that when our life is over, or if you come back, our sins can be washed away by what Jesus did on the cross and the blood that he shed. And so, Father, we thank you for that moment. I received that January 10th of 2002. Now, if I could ask everybody to bow their heads and to close their eyes, please, nobody looking around. But if you're here and today would happen to be the last day of your life, Are you confident that you go straight to heaven? Or are you unsure and think, well, I sure hope I'd go there, or, you know, I think I've lived a pretty decent life. I can't imagine why I wouldn't go there. Well, let me help you with that. If being a good person, if even going to church, if even, you know, being generous and giving money, if those things got you into heaven, then Jesus would not have had to die. But our good works can't get us in. Our bad works can't keep us out. A church attendance can't get us in. And our church attendance of lack thereof can't keep us out. Our generosity can't get us in, and being cheap can't keep us out. Jesus is the measuring line. So if you're here and you could say, Pastor, I hope I'd go. I'm not sure. I think I would. When I ask myself that same question, I know the answer is yes, because of what the Word says. The Bible says if I call on the name of the Lord Jesus, it's not enough that I know there was Jesus. I have to call on His name. If I call on His name, the Bible says I will be saved. So if you're here with heads bowed and eyes closed and you can say, I guess I'm not so sure. Listen, I'm positive on myself. You could be positive on yourself. But maybe you say, I'm not so sure. Or, no, I don't think I would go. Well, let me see if you're qualified for heaven. Because church attendance isn't it. Good works isn't it. Generosity isn't it. But there are qualifications to get into heaven. Number one, you have to believe in Jesus. If you can say, Pastor, I do believe that Jesus was real. I believe in this Easter business, this stuff. I believe He died and rose again. That's number one qualification. The second qualification is you got to accept Him into your heart. You got to call on His name. So if you're here with heads bowed and eyes closed, we won't embarrass anybody. We won't have anybody come forward, stand to the front, or say anything on their own. But you want to receive Jesus for the very first time. And know that, you know, now listen, if you've received Him years ago and you've had a bad few years, just repent. You don't have to re-get saved. He already is in there. He's not leaving you. Praise God. But if you can say, I've never done this before, then we're talking to you. Nobody's looking around, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you want to receive Jesus for the very first time and know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven, would you just lift your hand high in the air? Anybody that's never done that before. I see that hand, you can put it down. Thank you for your boldness. He's merciful. He loves you. He loves you. Anybody else want to receive Jesus? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. Anybody else want to receive Jesus? Father, we had one hand, but there might be more, and there might be people listening online now or in the future. So if you raised your hand, or if you know you should have, or if you're listening on live stream, there's one last thing to do, and that's to invite the Lord into your heart. Now, we won't have you pray on your own. We won't embarrass you. I told you this between you and God. But if you raised your hand, or know you should have, or if you're listening right now and you want to be included in this, we're going to pray a prayer, and that prayer is going to invite the Lord into our heart. Everybody, along with the person that raised their hand and anybody else that needs to do this, go ahead and say this after me. Invite Jesus in. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that You died on the cross for my sin. And I believe that You rose from the dead. And I ask You to come into my heart. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now look up here. Praise God. It's that simple. Remember, we're not going to rush out here. We're going to do communion. So if the ushers want to go get the stuff for the communion, that would be wonderful. Praise God. Whoever's in charge of that. Well, they can go get it. They're out there? In hand? We got some good ushers around here. My goodness. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The ushers can come forward. Thank you for being more prepared than me. They can come forward. Praise God. As communion is being, we'll come right to the front here. As communion is being passed out, I just ask that we be reverent and respectful, that we don't carry on conversations except with God, and just, this is a time to put in remembrance of what Jesus did for us. So as the elements are being passed out, we're going to put a song on. Just encourage you to worship in your seat and just remember and think about what the Lord did for you this morning. Go ahead. Thank you, sir. You have juice? Okay. Thank you, Steve.
You're my beloved, you're my bride. To sing over You is my delight.
Bless you, Lord.
Come away with me, my love.
Worship. Bless you. We honor You and praise You. Thank You for mercy.
Under my mercy, come and wait till we are standing. Face to face.
has such a good plan for everyone in this room. Just start doing it His way. Just surrender to Him. He's merciful. He's not mad at you. He loves you so much. Loves you so much. I don't know how many times He's picked me back up and helped me.
So beautiful to me.
I just want to encourage everybody here, no matter where you are in God, you know, he loves you. He's patient and merciful. He looks at your situation. He wants to be a part of it, but he needs you to let him to do it. I just encourage you, receive his mercy this morning. Amen. Receive his love. Praise God. And are the ushers coming back in? Hey, there they are. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23. Says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" So take the bread and go ahead and break it. Represents his body, and go ahead and eat. Lord, we are so grateful for what your body being broken represents. It offers us the opportunity to walk into healing. Your body was broken so that ours wouldn't. Thank you so much, Father. We're just so grateful for that. And in verse 25, the same manner also, he took the cup. So take the cup. "When he had supped, saying, 'This is the cup of the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this bread, eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come.'" Go ahead and drink. Now, Lord, we thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that was shed for us, for our redemption, for our forgiveness. We thank you that the blood covers all past sins. And Lord, anything that we're facing now, we can get it and repent and get it under the blood. And we thank you that the blood will cover anything we mess up from here on out. Father, we thank you. Can we just worship him together as a church? Thank him for what he did. What he did for you was so wonderful, so selfless. He loves you. He wants you to come up higher. He wants you to come up higher this morning. We worship and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd all pass your cups this way, that way they can come down and get them. Don't forget, no prayer, no Wednesday night service. Have a great rest of the day. You are dismissed.